But I'll tell you this, and I mean no disrespect, but it's a lot easier to learn principles than it is to tarry with the Christ. I know so many little preacher boys, and some of them are 70 years old, that their whole life is nothing but little doctrines and principles, but they have never tarried before the Lord. They have spent no closet time. Their knees are not bare. They know nothing of going out into the woods for 7, 8 days and screaming at the gates of heaven. They'd honor the pilgrims and the Puritans all day long, but they know nothing. They know nothing of their zeal and nothing of their passion. It is so easy to learn principles about holiness. It is so easy to learn attributes of God as they're set forth in statements. But how many men are so sick and tired of not being in the presence of God that they are willing to depart from absolutely everything? And if it means running like a wild man through the woods for a week, throwing rocks at heaven, they will not rest until the presence of God is real in their life.
He says, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God.
Our ears have heard about him, but our eyes have not seen him.
I've been to church, but why is my soul cast down?
You're going to become nothing but a bunch of cold principles if the presence and the power of God is not in your life.
But he said, there's something missing. There's something missing. And there are millions and millions of godly Christians, those who love the Lord, but they know that there is something, that there's an inner longing that has not been quite satisfied. There's an unmet spiritual need yet. There's something out there, something deeper. There's a beauty, there's a glory, there's an excitement about who the Lord is that I have not seen, that would give me something to see me through the rest of my life, something I could give my life to.
I remember as a young Christian, I was born again, I was baptized, and I was studying the scriptures. I felt there was something missing in my life. And people tried to convince me theologically, oh yeah, you got everything when you were born again. I tried to believe that. I went to an assembly that taught that. But when I read in the scriptures, words like this, John 7:37 to 39, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water.
And it was just like that after my conversion. I mean, just everywhere, all I could think about was Jesus. And then I remember one day walking into a store thinking about buying some new boots. And I walked out of the store. I have never been so broken in all my life. I realized that I walked into that store and Christ was not in every thought. Christ was not in just every. And I thought, what happened? You know what's terrifying? Is when that becomes so common it no longer even bothers us anymore.
You remember in the 84th Psalm he says, my heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. And then right after that he says, a day in my courts is better than a thousand.
The main thing is he's fatherly, he's encouraging, he's loving, but he's saying, come up higher.
And tell him this year, I trust you will, and I'm going to tell him every day. My goal is God himself.
Find a basement. Get some knee pads. And let's learn how to cry out to God.
And you know what Moses prayed? He had been on Mount Sinai 40 days and 40 nights. He had been the one that had the encounter with God at the burning bush. He had been the one that raised the rod and saw the sea split. He saw... seeing the miracle power of God like no one else who ever lived. But now there's something in him in the midst of the glory, in the midst of the blessing, in the midst of the moving. There's something in him crying out for a greater revelation of God. There's something in him that has to break out and take hold of God. He can't live where he is any longer. He can't stay back any longer. And he says, oh God, show me your glory. I've got to have you and know you and experience you in a way beyond what I have yet. Friends, that's what it's going to take, that heart cry rising up to the throne of God.
You to seek God with all your heart and soul and might, and nothing will keep you from God till you find Him in reality, till the superficiality and all the lukewarmness and the compromising. God, do you think God won't deal with you if you ever did that? What keeps you from that?
And then and there, I claimed the gift of the Holy Spirit in dogged committal on Luke 11:13. I had no vision of heaven or of angels. I had nothing. I was as dry and empty as ever. No power or realization of God. No witness of the Holy Spirit. But something happened. He said, if the previous years had been hell on earth, these 4 years after have truly been heaven on earth. Glory be to God, the last aching abyss of the human heart is filled to overflowing with the love of God. Love is the beginning, love is the middle, and love is the end. After He comes in, all you see is Jesus only, Jesus ever.
But if the Holy Spirit is truly, truly upon you in this generation, you will not be satisfied. You will not be found among those who sit in supposed houses of God with your feet on the altar rail and a cup of coffee in your hand, listening to a PowerPoint sermon about a Christ they don't know.
Fire!
You know, it's a wonderful thing when God reaches down from earth and gets hold of a man. There's only one thing more wonderful to me, that's when a man on earth gets hold of God.
It's a hunger so intense that it is all-consuming and dominating. A hunger so powerful that it says to an angel, even though it's exhausted and bone-tired, I won't let you go until you bless me. God is seeking a hunger that will not let go because it cannot let go. A hunger that cannot quit because to quit is to die.
I'm looking for a manifestation of God in heaven. When He left, sit far to the sanctuary speechless. You have to get out of the door, they're talking football or other junk.
You men, most of you know more than I'll ever know. The thing about it is, are we seeking Him? Are we seeking Him? Are we seeking Him?
Talking about holy starvation.
Listen to what Lake said. God's purposes come to pass when your heart and mind get the real God cry. And the real God prayer comes into our spirit. And the real God yearning gets hold of our nature. Something is going to happen then. No matter what your soul may be coveting, if it becomes the supreme cry of your life, not the secondary matter, or the third, or fourth, or fifth, or tenth, but the supreme desire of your soul, the paramount issue, all the powers and energies of your spirit, soul, and body are reaching out to God and crying to God for the answer. It is going to come. The hunger of a man's soul must be satisfied. It must be satisfied. It is a law of God in the depths of the spirit. God will answer the heart that cries. God will answer the soul that asks. Can you really say, God, I'm desperate? Can you really say, oh God, I can't live without the blessing? Not for some selfish thing, but so that God can touch us, so we can touch others.
Jesus Himself, who said, if anyone thirsts, let him come after me. Let him come to me and drink.
He said, I will not let thee go unless you bless me.
Are you desperate?
I'm looking for God, the Holy Ghost, to come suddenly.
He says, I'm not satisfied with anything except God. My goal is God Himself. Not joy, not peace, not even blessing, not the favors. And I want God. I need Him.
Have I ever sought God so desperately that I'd rather die than not get to know Him? You see how weak our longing for God is? You got to have a heart that longs for God. See, there's a law in God's dealings with man that it's only those who seek Him with all their heart, Jeremiah 29, verse 13, who seek Him with all their heart, who will find Him. So if you didn't find Him, it's because you didn't seek with all your heart.
And you didn't seek with all your heart because you didn't think it was so important. You know, people who don't seek for the fullness of the Holy Spirit with all their heart, chances are they'll never be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Heavenly Father, here I am, a sacrifice on your altar. I hold nothing back from you. Hold nothing back from me. Send the fire. Set me ablaze. Burn up the dross. Burn up the flesh. Make me a flame of fire. Use me to set my world ablaze. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Lord, I want to hear.
At night and you lose a 5-cent coin, how long would you look for it? Would you spend the whole night looking for that cheap coin? No. But supposing during the day you accidentally misplaced $100,000 somewhere, boy, you'd spend a long time looking for that. How do you seek for God? Do you seek for God like a 5-cent coin? Okay. You look for a little bit. If you find it, well and good. If you don't find, doesn't matter. I've got other more important things to do. Well then, such people never find God. God says you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart.
How much time do you spend in the presence of God? How much time do you lay before Him? How much time do you pull away from everyone else and even from your studies, dear brother, to throw yourself down before Him and seek His face? And I would go out on the streets in Austin, Texas and preach. I was afraid. There was no boldness. There was no power. There was nothing. But I would always hear the voices of these old men. And one day I decided enough is enough. I will seek Him until I find Him or until I die. I went into a closet and I said, I'll not leave this closet until I know God. 15 minutes later, I fell asleep. My roommates came home and found me in the closet. So I took an alarm clock with me. And please, I'm not saying this for any other reason except I feel like I'm supposed to. Took an alarm clock with me. Set it for every 15 minutes. I'd pray for maybe 5 or 10 minutes. Fall asleep. Alarm clock go off. Set it again. This was my prayer. I didn't pray for China. I didn't pray for the presence of God. In the sense of my ministry, I asked one thing. Lord, you said if I seek you, I'll find you. You said it, Lord, that you would reveal yourself to me. You would let yourself be found by me if I seek you. Night after night after night after night for months. 2 and 3 hours a night, simply sitting there like this, on my knees. Lord, it's been 4 months now. It's been 5 days now, and you still have not come. And just sit there. Lord, I've been here 3 hours, and you have not come. Day after day and night after night. And then one day our church was spring break, and all the college students were going to go on a Bible study ski trip type thing in Colorado. And I felt like the Lord wanted me just to go out into West Texas to the hill country, pretty barren. And I walked on top of those hills 3 days like a wild man. If you would have seen me, you would have thrown me in an asylum. I was picking up rocks and I was throwing them, literally, physically throwing them at the sky. I was screaming. I was saying, God, I must know you. You must come. You must. I can't live like this anymore. I can't live just reading books. I can't live just reading about revivals and about people who knew somebody, who knew somebody, who knew somebody, who knew you. And nothing happened. And I went home. Another several weeks passed. And one night, he came. He came. I just said, oh, Father, I can't. Please come. And he came. I was thrown down on the ground. I don't know how long in a fetal position, covering my head, thinking, God's come to kill me. The presence of God, in a way that in 1 second, more of my sin and my need and His glory and power was revealed. And then all of a sudden, every bit of fear was taken away. And I was filled with such joy. And my mouth shot open. Verse after verse from Psalms and from everywhere else, passages I had read just started coming forth. Praises unto Him, the Word of God. Such joy. And I can tell you, it has been 20 years. The presence of Christ is more real to me in this room than any one of you. And one of the things that is so bad today is many of you men here, you also have known the presence of Christ. But now most of your prayer life is nothing but praying just a little and then just realizing He hasn't come and getting up and walking away instead of staying there until He does. It's just prayer of going through the motions. You want holiness in your life? Run to Him and stay there. Stay there.
I want to know what it's like to have uninterrupted communion. I want to be able to call on Him at any day. I want to be have my life to be a life of prayer. One thing I desire and one thing I have set my heart to, and that is that I can dwell in His presence and inquire of Him. In other words, I want to know who He is. I want to see His face. I don't know what your thought may be. If you could say the one thing, the one desire you have in life that you're going to spend your life, rest of your life seeking to obtain. I want something now that truly satisfies my soul. I want something deeper than I have ever known in the Lord.
And I say, Lord, I'm not letting you go. I'm hanging on. I know it's your will. This man wrestled, he touched God. Well, tell me, who in the world is worth touching if it's outside of God? We can't touch God, we touch nobody. We're touching nothing. Only God can save us. We need a divine intervention. We need God to rend the heavens and come and disturb us. And to do that, He'll show us our bankruptcy. He'll show us that we have to be stripped before He'll clothe us, empty before He'll fill us, plead our poverty before He'll make us rich. I'm looking for God, the Holy Ghost, to come suddenly.
I need a living experience of the Holy Spirit right now. That produces rivers flowing through me right now.
I'm going to challenge you with everything in me. Press through the crowds, press through the religion, press through the schemers, press through your enemies.
God have mercy.
I'm so hungry. Find Him, find Him, find Him, find Him.
Oh God, for one time, Lord, open your heart to me. I want to know you, I want to see you. And the Lord answers him with three words, seek my face.
say, God, I need you. I need you. I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit in my life. I want reality. I want rivers of living water.
We need the Holy Spirit. We need to be flowing in the river in the life of God as a reality. And we are meant to be filled with Him and to be consumed by Him. Get filled with God. But right now, let's just be inspired and hungry for the reality of God. We are meant to burn.
There's something I'm longing for, unshakable, uninterrupted. Some kind of a walk with God that I've not yet seen or experienced. Folks, David, I believe, got tired of dead ritual in the house of God. He tired of the ceremonies. He sees the Lamb and he says, they talk about the Lamb, but who is the Lamb of God? I want to know this Lamb.
But there's a stirring in you. There's a stirring in the true bride in this generation. Thank God. Thank God that you've been sent on a search for Him. It's evidence that the Holy Spirit is within you. He's drawing you, He's guiding you, because God loves you with all of His heart.
And you have not found it yet, because somewhere along the line, you got stuck in front of a television set, and you neglected your Bible and got dead inside, and you turned your own prayer life and everything else into a ritual. And now, it's left you hungry. But I'm saying, even the godly people who pray, even those who are under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, they're always reaching out to this one eternal, glorious joy, something that will take me to the coming of the Lord and see me all the way through eternity. It's a relationship. It's an uninterrupted intimacy with Jesus Christ. Now, this is not a call to prayer. David's been praying 7 times a day. This is not a call, well, go spend more time. Yes, thank God for more time. Thank God for all the Bible study and all of that. But the face of God is His reflection. It's His likeness. This is a call to get to know who the Lord is so you can live like Him. Seeking the face of Jesus is not just a call to prayer. It's a call to a hunger and a thirst in the soul to seek.
It is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you. Till He come. Not to some short prayer at the end of the sermon, but till He come. I will not let thee go except thou bless me, except you have your way and your will with my life. I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Have thy way. No matter what it costs, God. Oh, ye shall seek me, ye shall find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart, God says. That costs you everything.
Moses in the spirit groans, and God, sitting on the circle of the earth with all power and authority, says, Moses, let me alone. And Moses answers back, he said, I won't let you alone.
He said, I'm so desperate, I've got to find you.
I'm going to challenge you with everything in me. Press through! Press through the crowds! Press through the religion! Press through the schemers! Press through your enemies! Find Him! Find Him! Find Him! Find Him!
God tests me to see whether I'm serious. And I knock, nothing happens. And I knock, nothing happens. I ask, nothing happens. I pray, I seek, I knock. I'm not going to give up, because I'm determined.
You know, it's a wonderful thing when God reaches down from earth and gets hold of a man. There's only one thing more wonderful to me, that's when a man on earth gets hold of God.